Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise and give you glory. And thank you, Lord, that we're saved tonight. Thank you that we're going to heaven when we die. Thank you, Lord, for this abundant life that we have in Christ, a life overflowing with good things. Thank you for the inheritance that we have. Just we're so grateful tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about giving life, Father. Open up the Word. Open up our eyes. I pray that people are taught and also they catch the vision of I give life. They catch the vision of the Great Commission, catch the vision of the role of the believer in the church. And so I thank you, Lord, that we hear and we obey and we run with this. And thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you open your Bibles to Mark 16, you know there's two accounts of the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Mark 16, I really like, I like both, of course, but Mark 16 talks about the believer's ministry here, so let's just read that. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Mark 16, verse 15 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world. Everybody say, go into all the world. And preach and publish and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to, and trusts in, and relies on the gospel, and him and whom it sets forth, is baptized, will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, does not adhere to, and trust in, and rely on the gospel, and him who it sets forth, will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new languages. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen. So be it. You know, this is the Great Commission, and that's the mandate for the church. And so who is the Great Commission given to? All of us or the preachers? Just those in full-time ministry? I've certainly been around a lot of believers, church folks that believe that. I mean, I never heard about the Great Commission until I was 19. And I was in church. I mean, from the day I was born, I was in church. Never heard about the Great Commission. And so it's interesting. I don't know what people are talking about in their churches, but then there's many churches that believe it's just the pastor's or the preacher's responsibility. But the Great Commission is given to all the believers. And if you're born again and if you're saved, you're part of the body of Christ. The Bible calls you a saint. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a saint. And so then you're a believer. And we talk about the ministry of the believer here. And the Great Commission is for every one of us. And so it's to preach the gospel to everybody, the whole human race. All righty. So let's look at Acts chapter 1. Because I don't know about you, this is a daunting task. I mean, it doesn't seem impossible. And that's probably why a lot of us don't even attempt anything, because it just seems so impossible. It seems so big. But Acts 1, verse 4, is going to help us realize how we can fulfill the Great Commission. See? There you go. The Lord has confirmed this. The Holy Spirit promised. Can we Acts 1, verse 4? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Say witnesses. To me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. In these verses is the secret to how we're going to fulfill the Great Commission. And it talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Talked about it Sunday. We've talked about it in this life-giving initiative. And we talked about it in School for Life. And the Pentecost service talked about it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, something we receive after salvation. The evidence of it is speaking in tongues. And there's so many benefits, and I share a lot of different benefits. I went through some of the names of the Holy Spirit on Sunday. Comforter, strengthener, helper, encourager. I mean, all these different descriptions, all these benefits of the Holy Spirit. But it says here that the main reason, the main purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the main reason for the Holy Spirit to come upon us is for us to be a witness. And that is top priority. And so we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission. It's our secret weapon that God has given us. Now let's go through some of these words here and then go a little bit into the definitions. Again, the Greek language is so rich. You know, we'll say different words. We'll say power, and you know, we don't know really all what that could mean. I mean, we're talking about power for the lights, you know, strength. I mean, what are we talking about? Well, this is a Greek word, dynamis. This word power here means energy, power, might, great force, great ability, strength, and it means miracle power. Miracle power. It's from where the word we get in our English language, the word dynamite. And I was reading one book about this definition of this word, and it's talking about the word power here, and it says, this power in the life of the believer results in dramatic transformation. Dramatic transformation. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God coming upon people, brings dramatic transformation, change, difference. It's an enablement. It's a power. It's ability. It's force. When this power is on you, you're different. And this dynamis power was a sign. It was a trademark of the early church. It was their calling card. They were known for miracles. Now, some people talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. They say it's passed away. They say it was only for, you know, the early church. But, my Bible says that the latter house is going to be greater than the former. And so this church that we're in now, and we have a whole history of the church going back 2,000 years, this church, talking about the body of Christ, is going to be greater than the former. That means, and we're not in any kind of competition, but we ought to be getting better. We ought to be getting better. And read about what they had in the early church, and we should be having at least that. But just like with our kids and grandkids, we want them to go beyond us. Well, it's the same thing here. And I believe we're going to be a part of that generation. We're going to go beyond. We're going to see what the early church had, and we're going to go beyond. So that's the word power. The word witness, this word witness means to give evidence, to attest, confirm, bear record. It means to speak well of, to give a good report. It means to testify that one had heard or experienced something. If you're a witness at a court proceeding, you're going to share what you heard about in the case or what you saw. So it says here that power comes upon us to be witnesses, to share what we've heard, which is the gospel, and what we've seen and experienced, which is miracles. And so tonight's message is the power to be witnesses, the power to be a witness. Now, where are we to go to share the gospel? It talks in here about four different places. Jerusalem, that's our hometown. Judea is our state or our nation. Georgia, South Carolina, United States. Samaria, if you know anything about Samaria, in their case, it's a segregated area. It's forgotten people, hurting, unloved people. This could be like an Indian reservation, public housing, refugee center. This could be a prison, nursing home. You ever been to some of these nursing homes? Man, is it depressing. And many of the people have nobody comes and sees them. Hurting, lost people. Homeless shelters. And then in case we didn't cover everything in the first three, then it says the uttermost bounds of the earth. That's everything else. That's the nations. So we're baptized in the Holy Spirit to be witnesses in our towns, in our state, in our nation, to the nations, to lost and hurting people, which are everywhere. And it's, again, it's a commission to each one of us. It's not a few called people. It's not people that have the gift of evangelism. It's for every believer. Whatever your personality, whether you're shy, whether you're, you know, outgoing, whatever you know, who you are, this is for everybody. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to be a witness. Now that's good news today. That's good news for all of us. He comes upon you to be a witness. Now, if we have the Great Commission's already been given, and we have the Holy Spirit empowering believers to be witnesses, why aren't more people being witnessed to? Now, we've talked about that already. But why aren't more people being witnessed to? Why aren't more people being witnessed to in Augusta, in this area, 500,000 people? Well, you know, of course, we need to emphasize the Great Commission. Of course, we need training. People need to be trained. People need to catch the heart of God. But there's a key element here of why more witnessing is not happening, and it's found in Acts chapter 4. Turn over there, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts 4, verse 29. And this is, remember, Peter and John, the gate called Beautiful. Remember, they healed the lame man. And then the guy gave testimony, and then they were brought before the religious leaders and severely threatened. They go back to their own company and share what happened. They begin to pray. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 29. And this is part of the prayer. It says, "And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they were bold. They were bold. Now let's talk about this word bold, boldness here. This word means unreserved utterance. I mean, you're not holding anything back. You're not timid. Unreserved utterance, freedom of speech, outspokenness. Meaning you may be a shy person, but now you're outspoken. Cheerful courage, I like that. Cheerful courage. It means confidence. You know, when someone speaks and someone talks and they have confidence, I mean, it just, it's an intangible element. It's just something, it attracts you. I mean, it's something that we want. Confidence. Speaking with confidence. They looked at Jesus and he spoke as a man with authority. He spoke with confidence. Divine, it's a divine enablement, this boldness. I love this. Divine enablement that comes on ordinary, this is one thing I read, on ordinary and unprofessional people. There's hope for us to make a clear presentation of the gospel. So the missing element that we have is boldness. We need to have a church that's bold. We need to have believers that's bold. And it goes hand in hand with being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every believer, regardless of personality, should be bold. That's the plan of God. That's the will of God. And that's the big difference with the early church. They were bold. They're in the midst of the Romans, in the midst of the religious system they were dealing with, they were bold. They stepped out. They had a fearlessness. Didn't care about imprisonment or death or what people thought. They just were obedient to God and they just stepped out for Him. And that's a boldness. And that's a part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So how does this boldness come? Well, the first way it comes, we ask for it. In the book of Acts here, they prayed about it. They asked God for boldness. They asked Him for it, and they got it. Then over in Ephesians, it talks about Paul says, pray for me that I may have utterance. So we're to pray about it. Another big thing is desire. We need to desire it. You're not going to get anything anywhere with God or the things of God without desire. They that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And so desire is so important. And I, you know, I wish I could just open up your head or your heart and put in desire in there. I mean, I can challenge you. I can preach the best messages. I can entertain you. I can do all these different things. But that desire, it just comes from within you. And if you don't, you can know about it, but if you don't desire the things of God, the Bible says desire spiritual gifts. Covet them. And so desire, and so we have to desire to be bold. Desire this courage and this fearlessness. But then there's another way that boldness comes, and you're going to love this one. It comes from stepping out. Have you ever stepped out? Who's stepped out and done something uncomfortable for God? Raise your hand. All of us. Should be all of us. Either, you know, times of prayer, times of evangelism, times of encouragement, you know, maybe even confronting somebody, speaking the truth in love. I mean, all of us have had those times and we're stepping out for Him. But there's times where you're just going to have to step out by faith. When you're not feeling it, or we need to step out there. And I love Peter, you know, walking on water. He just stepped out of the boat. There's going to come a time for all of us. If you want to move forward in the things of God, there's going to come a time when you need to step out of your boat and get out there where no one can help you but God. That if you don't have God's help, you're going to fail. Sounds scary, doesn't it? But I'm telling you, that's how you move forward. And that's how you experience this boldness and you experience the power of God. Because Peter, I mean, he's stepping out and he's just stepping. I mean, we got huge waves and wind and all this going on. And he's just stepping out there. And then, bam. The power of God came on him, up on him, and he's now walking on water. You know, you've heard all these stories, but was serving with Campus Crusade for Christ back in 83 on the beaches of San Diego, suffering for Jesus. It's beautiful out there. And we did all kinds of outreach. And one of the outreaches we were going to do was called Slow Motion Football, where you, and the beach is there. We're on Mission Beach, which is a good name, Mission Beach. And they have this really high cliff, and you come down these steps, and the beaches are just packed, wall-to-wall people, thousands of people. And what we're to do is we come as maybe 20 of us. We come yelling, making as much noise as possible down those steps and move people out of the way. And then, of course, you're going to draw this crowd. And then they watch the game, which is really stupid. And then you're going to share the gospel with them. Well, this all sounded good. And many teams had done it before our team. But I don't know, but I was scared. I was like, what in the world are we doing? They're going to laugh at us. They're going to kick sand in our faces. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're going to throw us to the sharks. Have you ever been just scared? You ever been so scared? Because I'm the quarterback in this game. I'm like the center of attention. I am scared. And I don't know if I really want to do this. And so I'm shaking. And so we're back in the room and we're praying, just like they were praying. And they were praying, and I was just praying all that I knew and every scripture I knew. But somewhere along in the prayer time, and I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, victory came. Victory came. And these are not Holy Ghost people. They began to shout. And we began to shout, and we said, when we touch that sand, that beach is ours. My hairs are standing up right now. That beach is ours. And I'm telling you, it was like something came on me. And we went down there and we did our game and we shared the gospel. 50, 60 people got saved. I was talking to a group of bodybuilders. Just behold, here I am about this wide, you know. All 150 pounds. Where'd that guy go? Southern cooking. That's my excuse. But a boldness came. It was different. We were in another trip. The following summer, I went to Panama, the nation of Panama. And we were doing this trip to this island. And we're on this big ferry. And they had, I don't know why they did this, but all the Americans, there was a lot of service people, were up on top, and a lot of the Panamanians were down below. And so we were up top, and the Panamanians are so bold. We had a megaphone. They just, right when we got on the boat, they just pulled their megaphone. They just started preaching the gospel to their folks in Spanish. Didn't think about it, just preached it. Then they come upstairs, and they hand the megaphone to the director of our team. He's like 30 years old. Hands it to him and says, now you preach the gospel up here. And he just turned white. He was tan. He just turned white. And he said, I'm not going to do it. Then he handed it to his assistant. He said, he's not going to do it. Then the next leader, he's not going to do it. Next leader. And finally, it came into my hands. And I just said, and I'm like, I didn't want to do it, but I said, you know what? I'm here in this foreign land. I mean, what's the worst thing they can do to me? Throw me overboard. Well, I can swim. I'm a good swimmer. So I get the thing, and so I just step up there. I have no idea what I'm going to do, and I get the megaphone, and I just stand up there, and I give my testimony. I have no idea what I said, but I just preached everything I knew. And afterwards, then we all just spread out amongst the folks. I was with like 6 Marines. I just picked the biggest guys, and I go over and talk with them, share the gospel. Not all of them were interested, but 2 of them got saved. But that boldness came upon me as I started walking out there. I was scared. But sometimes you got to step out in faith. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there that the only one that can help you is going to be God. I have a microphone here. Did you ever, Nate?
Talking with Anthony the other day, real fast. And we were talking about the outreach. Mm-hmm. And you said you were going to go. Is that right? And how are you feeling about going?
Oh, pretty much scared to death.
and he, when he was sharing that, he said he was nervous and he was scared. Now, this is a confident guy, very confident in what he does and his job and all these different things. And so when he said that, that just really just struck me about the whole thing about witnessing and outreach and meeting strangers, fears that we all have. But so why on earth do you want to go on the outreach?
Well, I think for me, it's just the fact that I've talked with a friend of mine back in the upstate of South Carolina, which is where I'm from, whole North Greenville territory. But the thing is I'm 40, be 49 in September, and it's, we both agree that it's time to get off the sidelines and get in the game. You know, we've heard preaching, we've heard teaching, the whole thing on witnessing for years. I have 27 years in a Baptist church, and I've heard the fivefold ministries a thousand times, which we were discussing. And quite honestly, in one ear, out the other ear, it's the pastor's job, and it's not. And it's taken me 49 years to realize that. So it's time to get in the ball game. You know, in Matthew 6, it talks about laying up self for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust it don't corrupt. So, you know, we work diligently for our 401ks and our weekly pay or biweekly paychecks, whatever the case may be. But that's just going to go away. The true meaning of life is what we do here on earth, making sure that our families, our children get to heaven. Those that we can reach will get to heaven. You know, my good friend up in South Carolina, they go to First Assembly, and there's a place in Greenville where the people literally live under the bridges, and they've started that outreach there to reach them. And, you know, something, he's getting busy, so he's encouraging me to get busy. And just from talking with a pastor here, it's just really got me excited about that. There's a person here in this church that talked about prison ministry once upon a time at a previous church, and that got me excited about that. Talk about scared to death to go into a prison. So I'm using this as a kind of a jump start thing here. You know?
We have this on video here.
Yeah, kind of a jump start.
We'll send you a copy. Yeah.
But yeah, exactly a thing here. So you know something, I think, and I think about many years ago when I was with Retail Corporation, and I was always scared of a certain thing, a certain computer program that we had to run every morning. And I would always call somebody else because I didn't want to deal with it. Finally, one day I said, you know, I've got to become the subject expert on this. And I did. I committed myself to that and had people calling me to figure out how to do it. Well, same thing here. Scared to death about, you know, I have no problem standing up here talking right now. I talk to anywhere from 50 to 200 people about every day, and it doesn't bother me. But to go out witnessing because it's something I'm not comfortable with, and I've got to figure that piece out because that's truly why God put me here on earth.
Thank you.
And, you know, if we had time, thank you, Anthony. If we had time, I mean, we could go around and share. And some of you, I mean, all of you that's done any kind of ministry, I know that you've had to overcome certain things, and people that are just timid by nature and shy and just stepping out and doing things. And so I just want to really encourage you as we've been talking about giving life, talking about being empowered to give life, and now we're going to have an opportunity to do some of these things. And so come on out with us, and just, if you have to, step out by faith. And we'll take care of you, we'll watch over you, we'll train you, but watch God work through you. It's going to be exciting. Now, the last thing I want to mention, and then I'm going to turn it over to whoever, is the Lord, not only is he going to lead us, because everybody I meet, I don't share the gospel with. Now, maybe on times we go to the street, we'll hit just about everybody, but I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God draws us to people. He draws us to people, and then he empowers us, gives us utterance to present the gospel in a clear manner. But there's some another element we need to mention tonight is God's drawing power that will draw them to you. And you remember over in Luke chapter 5 when it talked about the great catch of fish? He said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And he, you know, two boats full of fish that they caught. Well, those fish were drawn to the net. And it's no coincidence that at the end of that chapter or later down, verse 12, Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So he's not only going to empower us and draw us to people, he's going to draw folks to us. And I found this great scripture. It's very familiar to us, but I want to read it in light of this drawing power. And let me just put it up on the screen. Isaiah 60, verse 1. And this is in the Message translation. Get out of bed. That's a good word. Get out of bed, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is a sign of the church. Represents the church. Wake up! Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness. But God rises. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations shall come to your light. Kings to your sunburst brightness. Look up, look around. Watch as they gather. Watch as they approach you. Your sons coming from great distances. Your daughters carried by their nannies. I want to see that. We've got a nanny over here. When you see them coming, you'll smile. Big smiles. Your heart will swell and, yes, burst. In those people returning by the sea for the reunion, a rich harvest of exiles gathered in from the nations. So we're living in just an exciting time. And I hope tonight that the desire to follow God, the desire to please Him, the desire to be a witness is increasing in you. And I hope that you take opportunity to step out. I'd rather have you, and we want to train you. We're going to train you. We're going to teach you. But I'd rather have you just step out and just fall flat on your face. But step out for Him. Because I tell you, you learn by doing. And people want to have these great ministries and do all these miracles and hear, and they'll have testimonies, but you got to start where you're at. And it's a progression. It's a progression, and we learn. Each time we do it, we grow. But we got to give them something to work with. Amen? Everybody say, the power of God is on me to be a witness. I cast out devils. I lay hands on the sick. And they recover. I speak in new tongues. I'm a believer. I'm bold. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I share the gospel wherever I go. Amen.